We're living through a time of unprecedented racial tension and discussion in our country right now. It seems as though we're finally having to deal with 250 years of our nation kicking the racial conversation downstream for somebody else to deal with. We say that all men are created equal, but we have a long history of not living up to that lofty statement. But what about our kids? Many of whom are hearing the hard truths about our history and our present for the first time. How do we help them navigate this volatile landscape? Man, there is just no way around it. These conversations are difficult and critical. Can I say that over and over again? These conversations are difficult and critical. How do we start the race conversation with our kids, whether they're 3 or 13? Where do we begin? Ideas, guys?
Oh, but Lena, these are difficult conversations.
And critical conversations.
You're so right. I think for us as parents, why don't we just start here and just talk about how's it been for us in this moment? I'll start and just tell you that, you know, as a Black man who is passionate about racial justice and engaged in work around this, it's been a very, very exhausting, difficult summer in particular. And yet, I have found that my kids want to engage. They want to engage. Now, I mean, they want to engage to the degree that they know what's going on. So my older son certainly wants to engage. And I do think that as a parent, I'm always mindful that I'm giving myself enough space to feel what I need to feel. So then I can turn around and lead my kid the way he needs to be led, because those aren't necessarily the same thing. And so it's been tricky to navigate. I'm glad we're talking about this because I'm interested in hearing how it's been for the two of you as we process this together.
You know, initially I was with a group of staff and we were talking about, as a church, what do we do? And I'm especially interested with kids and students, you know, how do we help train them up to become people who fight for justice and fight for the oppressed? And in that meeting, I said, but I'm a white grandma. So that nobody wants to hear what a white grandma has to say. And somebody from that, and there were people that disagreed with me there, but then I had a couple people who are Black who called me afterwards and said, it can't just be Black people talking about this. We need white grandmas and we need all kinds of people talking about it. And so that really, I felt like that encouragement instilled some courage in me to step up. And just like we tell parents all the time, they're going, how do I start? Would you like, just take a step, just start. So I just started taking a step, and sometimes I've misstepped, but I have people around me that I can go to, you know, Chuck or, you know, other people, and say, help me with this, people to process it with.
Unfortunately, we've been able to avoid some of the difficult and critical conversations. And I think it's elevated the desire we have as a family to see racial justice in our country. And we've had to start having the conversations of, what are we going to talk? When are we going to talk to our kids about this? And how do we talk about it? And how do we ensure that, you know, as Louis gets older, that he has a view of his classmates and of our neighbors and of his friends and people around him where everyone is equal, and where, you know, how do we ensure that our kids, we want our kids to have friends that don't look like them. And so how do we encourage that as parents? And I don't know, I feel like right now we've had some difficult conversations, some good conversations as mom and dad, if you will. And now I think we're kind of swimming in, like, we honestly are going, where do we start? And what's the right first step to make when we have little children? to, yeah, so that's kind of where we are.
And I just want to call out, Lena, you are not alone in this, because Sesame Street did a survey almost a year ago, and they found that it was 22% of Black parents talk to their kids often about race, but only 6% of white parents. So that's not many.
Right.
And again, I think it's people just don't know where to start. And I've found that books are a great place to take that step. Go to the library. And actually, it's easy now at the library, because when in the, you know, the section where they're showing, you know, kind of the books are on display, so many of them are showing people of, it's a diverse group of people. And so we go, and I just pick the books just off of the top of the shelf, because those are, so many of those are the ones that have people in there that maybe my kids haven't been exposed to before. And that just starts the conversation and finding, oh gosh, we've ordered, there's so many great books on people who are African American who have done amazing things. You know, many of our kids know about Harriet Tubman and Martin Luther King. Those are not the only two people in history who were Black who did amazing things. I got a book. It's called Henry's Freedom Box.
Yeah.
It's about Henry Brown.
Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing book about this man who basically shipped himself to freedom in a box. And I read it with my five and six-year-old grandsons. Well, for them to see that somebody had to do that with one thing of water and a couple crackers, ship themselves in a box so they could be free, that was eye-opening to them.
I literally just ordered that as you said it, Kim. I'm not kidding. I just went to Amazon and clicked order.
It's so good. And Ruby Bridges is another great one that I thought I knew all about Ruby Bridges. And I was really challenged to, instead of just going to my Black friends and saying, Chuck, tell me what I need to know. I was challenged to do it for myself. I always thought the protest was just one day. It wasn't one day. It went on for months and months and months.
Yeah.
And then there was one day that when Ruby Bridges came in, she stopped. And when she got into the building, the teacher said, Ruby, why did you stop? And she said, well, every day I pray for the people who are yelling for me. And I'd forgotten to do that before I left back there. So before I went into the building, I stopped and prayed for them. Ooh, what an amazing lesson for our kids about praying for your enemies.
Yes.
And it's somebody who may look different than them.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Kim, that would make a great kids club lesson on praying for your enemies.
Oh, it's already in the queue. Thank you, Chuck.
I love it. Well, you know what? What you're getting at, though, is, and this is so helpful and encouraging, hopefully, for parents to hear, especially parents like you, Lena, who are on the front end of raising your children. Man, go upstream. Go upstream with this and create an environment in your home where your literature and the heroes that you talk about with your kids represent the visible diversity of our country. I mean, that's the opportunity that you have with young kids, is to, through your relationships, through the reading, through all of those things, to give them a broader view of the world than just white Eurocentric culture, which tends to be the predominant heroes that are presented to us and all of those things. So I think that those are just really, really fruitful conversations. And I know that that's probably the easier part. And we're going to spend some time talking about what about our teenagers and kids who are already in the mix of this. But I just don't want to underestimate the impact that that has. I mean, my wife, Kim, you know, Kim had my wife and I on the podcast that she does with parents from our church. And Maria is just chock full of ideas on how to do this, how to create visibility and diversity in the way that you create space for your kids and all of those things. And I just think that's a really, really important opportunity we have in this moment as parents, to think about, how do I want to make sure my kids know who a Ruby Bridges is? And also know who, and I forget her last name, but Johnson's her last name, the woman who was critical to helping us, Katherine Johnson, who was critical to helping us get to the moon, right? You know, how do we make sure those are characters in the American fabric, in the American story, that our kids know and know well?
And I will also say, as we start talking to our kids about this, they are going to be more aware. They're going to have more questions, which could mean that you might be in a situation where our kid asks an awkward question in front of somebody who looks different than us. And I just want to encourage parents now, that's okay. And what we don't want to do is we don't want to, in the midst of that, shush them. You know, say, shh, don't talk about that. Because that just encourages the thought that this isn't appropriate to talk about. And I actually had a situation with one of my grandkids where, because we're talking about this, we're reading all kinds of books, and they said something about somebody's skin color. They were just curious, but it was kind of awkward. And the person looked at me and I said, we're talking a lot about race in our house now. Thank you for being so kind in the mm-hmm. way you responded to that. And they just laughed and went on their way. Mm-hmm. So be prepared for some awkwardness and motor through.
I mean, candidly, I feel like I don't, in this, even in this conversation right now, I kind of don't even know the right questions to ask. Like, I could ask you, as a black dad, what do you want my white kid to know? I could ask, what book should we be reading? What conversation mm-hmm. should I be having? What should I not be saying? What should I be saying? I would love for you to just riff a little bit, Chuck, if you could. Yeah. Like, if you could say anything to parents on this topic.
Yeah.
What, talk to us. Like, give us your wisdom, because I candidly don't even know the right questions to ask sometimes, now included.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I thank you. Here, and I'll start there, because I think that this is an important component of this conversation. There's a idea that's in education, in development. It's called a growth mindset. And I would encourage every parent to adopt a growth mindset on conversations around race. Performance mindset is, you know, it's pass fail. We either win or we lose. And all a performance mindset does is it keeps you stuck. You don't want to do anything because you don't want to do the wrong thing. Versus a growth mindset says, you know what? I don't know the right questions to ask yet. I don't know the right way to lead my kids yet. The power of that word yet at the end of it is really what it means to adopt a growth mindset. And so I would encourage all of us, hey, we're all navigating this together. I was talking to someone who was, you know, older than me, and they said, I really think this is the most tense year I've ever lived through since 1968. 1968 was a pretty tense year. I mean, that's saying a lot, right? And so none of us have gone this way before, and yet we find ourselves in this moment. And so that's one of the things I would say. And I would say that particularly to white parents, because as parents of color, in some ways, we don't get to choose whether or not we engage the conversation. It's just a part of our lives. But I do think that, you know, for you and Nick and families like that, that are leaning into this, lean in with a growth mindset. And I believe that just like any other area of our life, yeah, you're going to make some mistakes, but you're also going to build some confidence and some competence and learn what works for your family. And I think that you'll be able to chart a course that looks like your kids being the kind of kids that you want, kids that are inclusive in the way they view the world, kids who are, Kim, as you said, able to fight for justice and do it from a biblical standpoint. So that'd be the first thing. I think the second thing that I would say is we as parents do need to go on our own journey first. This is definitely one of those areas where I'm not going to be able to give my kids something that I haven't walked through. And I think, again, so many adults who are parents are leaning in. It's been really encouraging to me. I would say I've had more, even more, of my white friends, my white brothers and sisters saying, hey, I'm noticing some things right now. And sorry to say if it's my first time noticing it, but like, here's what I'm noticing. Here's what I'm learning. Here's what I'm wrestling with. Here are the parts that I don't agree with. And I think it's just so important that we give ourselves the room and the space to go on that journey. And to not, because the thing that is dangerous, I think, and unhelpful is if this becomes performative. And what I mean by that is, okay, everybody else is being very racially sensitive. I guess I better be too. And if that's our only motivation for it, it's not going to last, and we're not going to be able to pass down something to our kids that's of value. But if you can get into the feelings, right, the tension and the happiness, the sadness, the frustration, the wait a minute, the whatabouts, if you can get into that as a parent, and ideally do that in community. I think on the other side of that, that's where I'm seeing growth and insights and people who are now at a point where they're able to say to their kids, hey, let me talk to you about this. Here's what I've been learning about it. Here's the journey I've been on. And just like anything else, we're going to be better able to lead our kids places that we're walking ourselves. So growth mindset and go on your own journey and give yourself space and time to do that before you try to feel an obligation to teach your kids. And for some of us, that means going on the journey the same time as our kids because we have teenagers. For some of us, our teenagers might be ahead of us on the journey. And I think that that's okay. Just own that and be in that space because when we, I always feel this way, when my parents modeled teachability and allowed me to quote unquote lead them, man, all it did was increase my respect for them in a big, big way. And so I think that our kids are okay. Your teenager's okay if you're willing to go on a journey and let them lead. I think they would honor that and I think they would respect you more for that as a parent.
Chuck, how can we, especially as we look at, well, I was going to say, especially as teenagers, but I think with younger kids too, how can we help them be an ally to all people, but especially to people who are different than we are?
Yeah. It's interesting, Kim. There's a man that is a Jewish rabbi, and he and I have been talking about the whole idea of allyship. And he helped me to see it very differently. When you choose to be an ally to someone, what you're saying is you have a problem and I want to come alongside and support you in your problem. As opposed to saying, I share in that problem. It's my problem. And so actually, how do you allow someone's experience to not just let you be an ally, but enter into the pain, enter into the difficulty, empathize fully. And from that place, then there's a shared experience of our problem that you're walking alongside, not in allyship, but in solidarity. And so this has been just new language even for me to say, like, I want my kids to have the ability to stand in solidarity with people whose experiences are different from theirs, to actually let someone else's pain be their pain. I mean, that's what Jesus did, right? You know, Jesus came and he embodied the human experience so that he could literally feel our pain. And from that place, he was in solidarity with us as he led us to salvation. And so I think that what we can do as parents is how do you teach your kids empathy? And how do you teach your kids to allow someone else's pain, even if it's a different experience, to become something that they feel so that they can stand in solidarity with them? I think that's the next level for our kids. And I think this generation is going to get there. I think this generation, I have a lot of hope, even in the midst of all the unrest right now. I have a lot of hope that our teenagers and our kids right now are seeing a moment in time where there's going to be a significant shift. And that significant shift is going to look like more inclusivity, more understanding for people who are different in our country. It won't be perfect. We'll never be perfect, I don't think, on this side of heaven. But I do think we can get to a place where we can stand in solidarity with each other, especially in the church, right?
Thank you so much for saying that, because that paints a totally different image. Standing in solidarity as opposed to being an ally. And so I want to grow. So thank you for pointing that out. And I think for people who are listening, go ahead and ask the questions and that's how we're going to learn and grow. So, yeah, thanks for that, Chuck.
Yeah, and I appreciate, Chuck. I know it can probably be exhausting to have to feel like you have to answer all the questions on this so often. And I'm sure that there are other people of color all around our country who are feeling just the weight of that and are tired from all the questions. But I thank you for being willing to answer the questions because we're going to be better in our and our listeners are going to be better for getting to hear from your experience and your wisdom as a Black dad in particular. So thank you.
We're all in this parenting thing together. We'd love to hear your thoughts, comments, questions, and ideas. So reach out to us all over email at podcasts@crossroads.net. That's podcasts with an S. You can do this as a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio.